years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead.
We're here. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And what are we going to talk about today? Well, various things. I did have this article on replacement theology, and of course wanted to update a little more on the end times. But doing a prophecy broadcast every day is unsustainable, I think, unless you have a lot of pre-recorded material or you're going over the works of a lot of great authors, because I do run an hour prophecy reality every day of the week. So there's a lot of material, but doing a live prophecy reality update, like as if there was anything new continually that was worth sharing, would be unsustainable to do like a 2-hour broadcast like this every day. That's why I only do it once a week. So we just finished the our Secrets of the Rapture series, the Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism. And if you missed that, playlist is on Rumble. Rumble has finally got playlists. I don't know when they got them. I remember they promised them several years ago, and I just discovered about them in the last month that they finally got their playlist things up. And if you make a playlist on your Rumble channel, then the playlist tab will show up. So it's there. And I'll show you here. This is if you go to FirstAmendmentRadio.net, and you'll see there's all of our current broadcasts that are uploaded every day. And it shows that we're live. So we're live on Rumble right now, as well as on YouTube and Odyssey and DLive. And also we're on Facebook, on one of my Facebook channels. So we got a lot of live going on, but I can't watch all of those chat rooms. So right now I'm only watching the YouTube Prophecy Reality chat room and the Rumble chat room and the First Amendment Radio chat room. I've got those fit over on another screen over there, so I can take a look at those, and they're nice to have. It'd be nice to get everyone into the same chat room. Also, we have coming up here I'm speaking to Greg, and he's supposed to start next Wednesday, and he says, I got a message. I've been messaging him on Skype this morning, and said, next week is your premiere. Are you ready? He says, I will be by the weekend and need to go over doing it live. So maybe I'll ask him during the broadcast if he wants to spend the last half hour of this broadcast with us, and we can talk to Greg Anthony if he's amenable to coming on. I'm just going to spring it on him, okay? So you might want to stick around for that, because he is there. Whether it show his face or just be audio, well, I guess I have to leave that up to him. Okay, so that, we have that. And another thing is I'm thinking about, because, you know, I'm in my 70, well, I guess if you've filled all your 70 years out, that makes me in my 71st year. I'm trudging through my 71st year of life outside the womb and on the planet, okay, to get technical about it. And things are changing, you know, things change when you get older. And I'm sure that there's a lot, I forget who told me they were 75 in the chat room. I forget exactly who that was. But it doesn't matter. So there's a lot of people going through the same changes in life. And many of you, like, there's a nest, empty nest syndrome, I guess, that strikes couples when they're younger than I am, because, you know, they're usually done having children by their 40s, okay? And I had my last child when I was 47, because that's the way that worked with my second wife, and she's still living with me here now. She's 22. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, so I was 48, I think, when she was born, or 49, somewhere around there. And my wife was a few years younger than me at the time. Yeah, that was No Buck says I'm 75. SMT tells her age over there. She's 52. 52 was, the 50s were great for me. I love that decade because it seemed like I had a lot more together and on top of things. So I look at that decade as one of my most productive. And I think that's the way it should be, unless you're going to doctors and taking drugs. Then they screw your life up much faster and you become a cash cow for them. But I stayed away from doctors my whole life. I have not seen a doctor since I was a teenager. I did get a prescription from a doctor once in my 20s, though, for a sinus infection. And after I did that, I decided I'm never going to get another sinus infection. So, and I haven't since then, because I set my mind to it. And that's the way we have to. We can't just walk through our life ignorantly. And I've had a few challenges with sickness or on that front, where most people would run to a doctor and as if they're all knowing, but they're just men. And we have the internet today, so I've been able to diagnose diagnose by whatever I was going through. For instance, I do see a dentist. See, I still have most of my teeth. I've lost a couple, but I do have most of my teeth. And then I have, I have one implant. I went in for an implant about 5 years ago, and they gave me antibiotics because that's what they do, whether you need them or not. And I took the antibiotics, and I had a immune, autoimmune reaction to the antibiotics. That's what I had. And I started getting lumps and blotches on my arms. It's kind of like a first warning signal that something's going on. I'm going, this isn't right. I got to figure out what this is. So I did a lot of research because I figured, well, I'm not going to die right away. So I'm not going to run down to the hospital or a doctor and say, give me drugs, fix it. You know, like that. That's what you don't do. And so I researched it. I figured out that I had undigested proteins leaking into my bloodstream, and my body was attacking itself, basically, because my food, my tract was all messed. And that's what the antibiotics did to me. It messed up my whole, digestive biome. And so I started drinking kombucha tea and overdosing on probiotics. Well, not overdosing, but you get the idea, really attacking it hard, and it cleared up. And so I've not allowed that to happen. And then that was to get the bone graft for my implant, because they took a bone off of my leg and they put it in my jaw so that I could get the implant, because I didn't have enough bone. Yeah. Isn't this fun? Anyway, so I had to go back in for the surgery to get the implant once the bone healed. And the dentist, again, as a rule, gives you antibiotics. And I said, well, you know what? This is stupid. I'm not taking these antibiotics unless I need them. So if I get an infection, I'll take the antibiotics. But it likely won't get an infection because I'm healthy and I have a healthy immune system. So I didn't take the antibiotics, and I was fine. Everything healed up fine. I got the implant in fine, and I've been chewing on it for, I've been chewing on it for the last 4 or 5 years. and I'm very happy with it. So don't take antibiotics unless you absolutely have to. And if you do, make sure that you load up on probiotics afterwards and drink lots of kombucha tea or however you want to get your stuff in you. And so I haven't had any problems with this since then. So, and although I do believe that the autoimmune reaction, I believe I get, because I still have the scars on my arm from the autoimmune reaction, although, yeah, it's still there. The main scar is still there, but all the rest of the stuff is healed up. The lumps went away quickly, and I've never had that kind of thing again since then. So that worked. And yeah, you have to like be your own doctor. Otherwise, if you turn yourself over to the allopathic physicians out there who will prescribe you drugs and or want to cut on you or whatever, rather than looking for the cause of the problem and correcting it, they want to treat the symptoms. So that's a lesson for you, especially if you're going to get to my age and not want to see a doctor. Plus, I'm not a socialist, so I don't participate in Social Security. It's my own personal conviction. I'm a conscientious objector to socialism. So therefore, I have to live up to that for my own sake, for my own conscience sake, because I've discovered that the Social Security contract is an unlawful contract according to God's law. And if it's voluntary, see, I'm not like Daniel in Babylon, and I'm a slave and I belong to the king and I have no choice but to participate. No, it's supposed to be America. You can still be free. You're free to not participate. And that's what I discovered, that if you want to be free, well, that's going to take work and you're going to have to lose your rights because they're going to take them away because they've been converting rights into privileges. Okay, so like I can't get a driver's license anymore. Does that mean I'm not allowed to get in my automobile and travel? No, because I do. Do the police stop me? Yes, they do. What do they do when they stop me? Well, it usually takes 20 minutes. That seems like an hour. And they say, have a nice day. See you later. Of course, I carry a legal document with me that I wrote up. And you can see that legal document on my website. It's my travel document. It's what do I call that thing? I forget already. Let me look it up here because it is on my website. So if you go to my website and you scroll down and you'll see some Nazis on the left-hand side here. Oops. Yeah, let me get it over here on the screen. On the left-hand side, right below where it says Freedom of Speech, Press, Thought, and Religion, with the picture of Luther. Below that, it says National ID Cards, Your Papers, Please. Well, if you click on that, it'll open up to my travel document. And it's 2 pages, double-spaced, okay, legal document. And you can look at it and then develop your own. Don't copy mine exactly. And it has to be true, because you're going to sign it at the end under penalty of perjury of whatever state you're in, okay? It's just you're telling that the document is a truthful document. So, and I put Roman date and, sign, and you sign the document. It's a legal document. And what this document does for you, it says, it's a notice of right to travel and declaration of repentance. Look at that. What could be more humbling than your repentance written down on a piece of paper for the world to see? But also, it's the first document in a lawsuit against the state if they want to treat you unlawfully and violate your rights. And that's why it's in a legal form. Okay, it's a legal form and it's signed under penalty of perjury. That makes it law and it cites their law. So go there. It's a PDF. You can download it. If you can apply it to your own life or customize it or change it. But if you use it, make it your own. And I also put down here the year 5960, because I wrote this in 2015. And that's my estimation of the true date from the Creator's calendar. But when I signed it, Roman date for them. because the Roman date, the Gregorian calendar, unbeknownst to most people on the planet, is not God's calendar. It's the Antichrist's calendar, okay? So anyway, that resource is there. And speaking of that, I applied for my passport in 2018 when my daughter was 16, I believe. It was early, yeah, just before her 17th birthday, because I wanted to go. I wanted to take my daughter on a mission trip, and while she was young and a teenager, to kind of get her some life experience to see that there's something beyond this life and what she's experiencing here, that there's real life problems and there's a real world out there and everything isn't the same everywhere, okay? So I wanted to take this missions trip with Joy International. Joy International is a ministry that I've been supporting since forever, because they before child trafficking and all that stuff, and the movie came out with Jim Caviezel and all that stuff was popular. Well, way back then, I was supporting Joy International because they go in and they train police, and they train, not only do they train the police, but they go in and they rescue young women and children from trafficking and from their the traffickers. And then they, of course, then they have to have a place to put them. So they put them in schools where they're trained, and some of them go into ministry, or they find places for them to live in a Christian community where they can be brought up. But they present the gospel to them. So they do a wonderful work, and that's Joy International. If you're interested in it, you can check it out. And you might want to give to something like that for yourself, something that's been doing this work for I believe decades now, the guy there at Joy International. So, and that's something that I personally support with my tithes and offerings every month ever since then. And something I suggest everyone should do. Everyone should be giving something for God's work on this earth and the gospel somewhere. I mean, if you're a true Christian, you already have that conviction. You want to do something in God's kingdom, and God's given you a great job or a steady income and more than you need, and you want to give into and plant or sow into his kingdom, not for what you're going to get back in this life, but what you're for eternity. You know, you're sowing into a kingdom that goes beyond the grave. And whether it's Joy International or even some other ministries where they help and bring the gospel with that help, that's very important to me, is that they must bring the gospel with that help. And or you can give to First Amendment Radio, though we're not 501c3. And it wouldn't matter that all the ones I give to, if whether they're 501c3 or not, means nothing to me, because I'm not a socialist, and socialists, only socialists are required to fill out certain forms every year because you've joined the club. And it's fitting. You join the club, you're going to take the benefits. Well, then you better pay, and you better pay up honestly. That's all I can say about that. I would not tell anyone to break their contract, even if they have a contract with an evil overlord. You're in that contract. Figure out how to lawfully get out of it without, you know, getting squashed by the beast. There's a challenge for you. But I don't condemn anyone for if they're like taking Social Security, they paid it all their life, and they were entered into the contract by their parents. They never, you know, had a conviction about how unlawful it is or whatever. And so you're just in that situation, which might end, and either you're going to die or Social Security is going to end. I don't see how it can go on under the circumstances, especially with inflation going on the way it is, unless it's stopped or slowed down. And I pray for all of that, because, you know, I don't want to see that kind of disruption in the land that I live in. Yeah, none of us do, but tribulation will come. There's no pre-tribulation rapture or resurrection escape from troublous times. The only escape is death, or that you live until Christ comes and he takes us to be where he is when he comes. Okay, well, that's a lot. Oh, yes, and speaking of passport, I got to that. Well, I might be finally getting my passport. I've been working with David Carmichael. Did I have him on many years ago? I think I might have had him on my radio broadcast many years ago and discussed that situation. So it seems like we finally made a breakthrough, and they have this new firm that's representing the State Department on this issue over the passports. And every time their lawyer, the head of this this law firm that's representing the State Department, tells them to send a passport to somebody, and they just did. He just sent my email. And so it's been working, and people are getting... So now I can go, but it's kind of too late. My daughter's 22. I don't think I'm going to... I might try. Maybe she'll still go if I set it up to go. And all I need is money then, right? Yeah, so, but I'm not going to worry about that. If God wants us to go, then the funds will come to make that trip. Because I, for one, hate living beyond my means. And I have so little means right now, but I'm not living beyond them. But when I get to living beyond my means, that means I have to back up and slow down and not spend. And because I'm at that point where, you know, I have about $1,000 a month coming in. And I know a lot of you out there probably have less, especially if all you're counting on is Socialist Security. I know that a friend of mine was living on a little more than $600 a month Socialist Security, and he had to learn to live on that. Not just one friend, but several friends of mine have had to do that. So I figure I'm doing better than they are. One, my rent is paid. The family property I live on is it provides a place for me to live so that I don't have rent every month. But I do have to pitch in towards the expenses of the property. And so, which if I pass on sooner than later, then my family will still be living here. So I have a number of family members living on the property here. And I've learned how to live with less, you know, and I don't have to pay insurance scam fees for automobiles and all that stuff. And I don't have to pay the property taxes because that's what your licensing fee in California. They tax you, they add a property tax to your license fee. So depending on the value of your vehicle, you have a graduated property tax on it. So if you get a new vehicle that's worth $100,000, whoa, you know, those fees, when your license fee comes up every year, you're going to have to pay that property tax. And it's like, I think it's 1 or 2%. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't care because, you know, I'm not contracted with them. And I'm not interested in contracting with them. I kind of like to keep my liberty, even at the high cost that liberty comes with today. And they keep raising the cost of it continually. Let's see. Yes, sauerkraut and fermented veggies. Yes, that's a good way to do that. Well, I just heard my tone. So I'm going to be going into a break here in a minute. And maybe I'll see if Greg wants to come on for a few minutes during the broadcast. Okay. Waiting for it. Yeah. Meanwhile, go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and make sure you subscribe and to my blog there, and you'll get a notice every time we're going to do a broadcast or post something. Okay. There it is. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? a propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive, that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content.
Yes, they will see your face.
So without your help, these programs cannot continue on Internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, I'm back. I had to go warm up my coffee. Let me take a sip here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Greg says, how about Thursday? I said, I'm not on. Next. I'm not on till next Wednesday, Greg. So today or nothing. Look, So anyway, he's either going to come on in 55 minutes or you're going to see him next Wednesday. One way or the other, whether it's on my broadcast or on his own. Oh, okay. I forgot about the phone. I like to forget about the phone sometimes. Your name and where are you calling from? Yeah, that's why I like to forget about the phone. Hello. Goodbye. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to take calls in the near future. I'm going to eliminate the phone and go only to Skype. And there's another conference calling thing that you can, I'm looking into it anyway. So anyway, I says 55 minutes now. So we'll see if he's going to come on in 55 minutes or not. Waiting for an answer from Greg here. Okay, let me get that. Yeah, that's the window off the screen there. Okay, so been just talking this morning and talking to you and hoping for feedback of any kind. So I finally got a copy of my Secrets of the Rapture, so it looks good. And now I'm going to try to get on some other broadcasts with that and see if I can get any traction with that, because I'm not going to get any help from Amazon or anybody else. They don't care if I sell books or not. Yeah, they don't care if people know about the Secrets of the Rapture thing, that the conspiracy there to deceive people and get them ready for something that's never going to happen. Okay, all of that. I'm also thinking about doing something else, talking about a change in life, getting up there in years, and I was getting to something else too, and that is doing a unlimited hangout. A limited hangout, that's something that's supposed to distract you for a while, right? While something else goes on. I think that's what they define when they use the term limited hangout. Well, I want to do an unlimited hangout because, as I said, I'm getting up there and things are changing my life and many of the lives of many other people. So I was thinking an unlimited hangout and coming back to this microphone and starting a new broadcast every evening and just hanging out. Of course, having different topics of debate and or things to talk about. I mean, we could talk about anything, kind of like what I'm doing today. He says, I'll let you know at 10, but just audio as out driving and can stop for a little while. Okay, so he's going to come on audio only. So now I need to find a picture of Greg, right? So when he speaks, you can look at his picture. Now, he will just have to hear his voice because I wasn't ready to do that. But he says he'll let me know at 10 and just audio. Not too bad. You know, you can get a Skype app for your phone and do video from anywhere. So I don't know if he's out, then he must have Skype on his phone because I don't think he's carrying his laptop around with him. So, but yeah, you can get Skype on a phone. And as long as you have an internet connection, you have a phone number because you can get a Skype number too. But that's another thing. But anyway, getting back to what I was talking about, doing an unlimited hangout every evening, say at 9 p.m. Pacific time, perhaps 9 for a couple hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours just to hang out. But the thing is, I don't want to hang out alone. I would like to always have someone on with me to do this broadcast, whether it's the same someone or if it's a group of people that want to take turns and you know, just bring a conversation. Kind of build a fellowship around that where people can, because I find myself at night, I can read and I can work, but by 9 p.m., I'm really not in the mood for working. That's the truth, and because there's no end of work, but it would be nice to have some fellowship, but I can't. The churches in the town near where I live might be able to find a few people there, but most of the people that I meet like me don't really belong to this, because you're alone. Say I'm a single man and I'm considered elderly, you know, an elder. But you go into these churches and you got all these young people running in the churches, and the pastors are married and have children, and all of their friends are married and have children, and you really don't have a place to fit in there. And I've tried. I've been to several, more than several. And the only church I ever fit in is not there anymore. The pastor moved and the church went with him. Well, the whole thing went with him. And if you're up there in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you can look up the Liberty Fellowship there and Pastor Warren Campbell Jr. Say hi to him for me if you're there. But yeah, a great fellowship. Used to be over here in the foothills in Cahuilla, California, in the foothills here. I love that church. You go there, and they had a meal every day after church. You could hang out into the late afternoon if you wanted to. They didn't have an evening service, but so it was fellowship, and then you would make connections with people and take people home with you or go home with people. You know, you could build relationships. That's something that's totally missing in the churches. You go to the churches now, they're only open once a week, and you go there and I would call that a limited hangout, okay? Because it's very limited. And you find out a lot of them, because you're strange like I am, you know, or you might not believe in the rapture, and they're sure that you're going to hell. But they don't want to offend you, but they really don't want anything to do with you, so they just kind of tolerate you. And that's pretty much what goes on. So there's no fellowship, there's no you're not like welcomed into the family of God at these churches. While they're nice and you know, they'll be friendly with you while you're there, you know, unless you want to comply with their institutional program and you're happy with that, then you're welcome, as long as you're happy with that. It says these churches seem to have all the same services, and of course they all preach on the rapture. That's the truth. Dale W. Or that's no bucks. Yeah. Seems my last comment didn't show. Well, hope we're not having any problems with the comments over there. Let's see. The churches are apostate and injected. What on earth, Nicholas? Jesuit fiend says. So anyway, and so I'd like to go from there and try to move into the community and do home church again, because I was doing it, but it kind of, something started happening. It was the what was that experiential Christianity movement started moving in, and they started to capitalize on the home church movement and pretty much destroyed it in the town or in the area where I live, and that put an end to that so many years ago. So it was fun while it lasted, and it was a good thing too. But so just thinking, anybody interested in that, would 9 p.m. would be midnight Eastern time, probably earlier, says WW. Yeah, that's the problem. If I was in the middle of the country, but I'm not. I'm over here on the other coast, and I can't, you know, if I go earlier, then it eats into my, you know, my productive time. And then I end up with the same problem. I'm here at 9 p.m. to midnight. And yeah, maybe you can catch the last hour of it. Or maybe I can move up to 8 o'clock. But still, it's the same problem. Because Yeah, it's just, I've thought about that. So I can understand that consideration. 9 p.m. would be midnight Eastern time. Like I said, if I was on the East Coast, it would be easier to not miss anybody. But I know a lot of people stay up past midnight. And so there's probably a few on the East Coast I would pick up, but maybe likely most not. So, but still for me, I'm just on the wrong coast, I guess, to do something at any other time, because it's still daylight until 9 o'clock here in the summer. And I don't want to really go earlier, even an hour earlier. Would be too hard for me. Or maybe I should do, now I got to think all about that. So that makes it more difficult. Okay, see, any more comments out here? My comment won't stick when I put a username on the channel. Okay, Sola Scriptura says, I don't know what that means. There's a historicist on YouTube here that you can have on your Hangout. And what is that? What's his name? The Protestant View. Is that what you're talking about, him? Sola Scriptura? I think I've seen you over there on his show. But yeah. He's like, whenever he has time, he does it. So there's no schedule. You never know when he's going to be on or not. And then he goes on for sometimes 5 hours. So, I mean, that's an unlimited hangout, but yeah. So he's kind of hard to catch. Yeah. Chris Lucas, that's the guy. Yeah. Yeah. So I watch him sometimes, but he calls himself a Seventh Day Baptist. So I don't know what's with that. But I think he, yeah, got into the Seventh Day thing before he became a Protestant, the Protestant View. Yeah. But like I said, he has no schedule, so you never know when he's going to be on. And it could be at any time, just when he has time, because he says he works 72 hours a week. And I believe he's married too, if I got that right. So how he would have time to just, yeah, work 72 hours and then do limited hangouts for 5 hours whenever he feels like he has the free time. And I think he was also running for Congress or the Senate or something like that too. But anyway, yeah, do check out Chris Lucas over there. I know he said some things about me that weren't very kind in the past. And I didn't even know him then. Yeah. Going back to 2022. So I think he should apologize to me for that. But maybe he's forgotten. And I didn't know he said it because I just found those things on the internet last week. And here I go, I've been communicating and friendly with this guy. And I look in the past and he was saying bad things about me. And I didn't even know who he was. Never heard of him. I mean, if you're a Christian, even Christians fail. Okay, so I forgive him for that. But before you say anything bad about someone, especially in a public forum, you're supposed to talk to that person first. That's the scriptural, you know, that's the law of scripture, is if you have anything against your brother, you're supposed to go to him first. And if he won't hear you, then you go to the congregation. You don't run with what someone else told you and then air it publicly. See, that's not Christian. That's sin. Yeah. So anyway, Chris, if you're listening or you hear this, I forgive you, man. I do. Seriously. I think you're a pretty cool, nice guy. Okay. As far as what I can tell watching your broadcasts, the few times that I was able to catch it. There you go. Okay. Let's see. And he says there, Sola Scriptura says, Sola Scriptura, I guess you do a lot of hangouts on YouTube then, right? And I really I'm afraid to go on YouTube, and because I don't feel like it could be free on YouTube. Like, I'm on there right now, but if I talk about the, you know, the or some other, if you talk about the LGBTQ craziness that's going on or whatever, you know, they'll give you a strike and take all your videos off. So I wanted to make my hangout primarily on Rumble. That way, like, if I'm going to do a show and I know that those poor liberals, those poor squeamish liberals over there at YouTube are going to be offended, I can just, you know, unclick YouTube on my streaming software here. See, I'm on YouTube right now on two channels on YouTube, and I can just turn them off whenever I want. But I don't have to do that in Rumble or on Odyssey or on DLive. I can say whatever I want. DLive might cut you off, but they seem to put up with, what's his name, David Knight all these years, except they did demonetize David Knight on DLive. So DLive is not really that reliable if they'll demonetize you. Yeah, we're just going to take your stuff for free because we don't like what you're saying. Really? We'll let you stay on to make money for us. We're not going to share any of the money we make on your broadcast with you, though, because we don't like what you're saying. Yeah, that's not right, is it? But anyway, that's what I believe David Knight expressed. Okay. So as far as the Protestant view in being a historicist and then being a Sabbath keeper, Saturday Sabbath keeper. Well, that's not really Protestant, but I guess, you know, it doesn't matter because, you know, if you read my stuff on it, that's right. He accused me of pushing the lunar calendar. Well, I'm not pushing anything. I do have this study up here. And if you go to the top of my website, it says crosstheborder.org and it says biblical studies right there. And that's what this is. This is a Bible study. I'm not pushing anything. I'm just telling you what the scripture really says. And it doesn't say Christians must keep a lunar Sabbath. And neither do I say that. I'm saying this is what it was. And, you know, that's what, that's where he differs. I mean, accuses me of pushing the lunar Sabbath, like I said, which I've never done. I've never pushed anything. I say that there is no prohibition, or is there any law that says you must rest or worship on any particular day of the week for the Christian? That's it. That's what I believe. There is no prohibition from going and worshiping on any day, Sunday, Saturday, Friday. You can worship every day of the week, right? And you can rest on any day of the week you want. See, because we have liberty in Christ. That's what I believe. And I walk in that liberty. Okay? Now, we do need rest, and everyone should work rest into and time for God into them. But we don't have to be religious about when we're keeping it, because it's not by the keeping of statutes and times and rituals and how many prayers you say and how many times you repeat the rosary or whatever, or how many times you say the Our Father, you know, this vain repetition thing, and also the keeping of the times and days and stuff. I mean, it's good to do things. It's good to have a routine. It's good if you can rest, you know, and spend enough time with the Lord and in the study of His Word and devoting enough time to God, and also giving part of your labor to the work of the kingdom and the gospel. And those are all good things. But I'm not gonna push anyone on anything, anybody on anything, or anything on anyone. That's what happened with Tom Fress. Is he got offended? Because I told him that I didn't think that it was a good thing if he goes on the air and he starts condemning people because they go to church on Sunday. He got offended and he left First Amendment Radio just for that. And then the knives came out and said, "Oh, you're pushing the Lunar Sabbath." I said, "Well, I'm not pushing the Lunar Sabbath, but I know Saturday is not the right day. And if you become legalistic and you're requiring other people that are going to church any other day of the week except Saturday because you're going on Saturday, that's wrong. Anybody can go to church any day and worship any day and rest any day, whatever day they want. There is no law for Christians, but we're walking in liberty. Now, there was in the law for the Jewish nation that was given to them in the wilderness when they left Egypt. You know, the law was for them, and yes, they should have done it, but the law, the Sabbath laws and the rituals and the keeping of the holy high days and the new moons and Sabbaths, no, that's not for Christ and not for the church, but that was for the Jew. And we are not Jews. And I write all about that. That's what this article, What Month Is It About? And of course, the study shows you it is undeniable that they kept a lunar Sabbath. I mean, there's two words. You can verify it with two words in any search engine on the earth. And those two words would be Adar 2, okay? And they usually do it in Roman numerals too. So if you go Adar, A-D-A-R, and Roman numeral 2, and put it in a search engine, and you'll find second Adar. And that's all the evidence you need to know that the Jews kept this lunar Sabbath that I have on this What Month Is It page. So if you're going to be legalistic, so the SDA Church, they believe they have to keep the Sabbath that God gave the Jews on Saturday, okay? But because they're keeping the wrong day, see? If they're allowed to keep Saturday but not follow the lunar Sabbath that God actually did give the children of Israel, then they got it wrong. And if their salvation is based upon keeping the right day, as not keeping the right day would be a violation of God's law and a condemnation to hell, then they're all condemned because they're keeping the wrong day through ignorance. You know, it's like Islam. You know, I liken it to Islam. You know, keeping the right day keeping. Because if they get pig fat on them, if they die with pig fat on them, they won't be allowed into, you know, Allah's heaven, but they will be condemned forever. You know, it's nonsense. It's silliness. It's like some people say that if you're cremated, you know, rather than put in a coffin and in a graveyard, that you won't be resurrected. You know, stupid. There were martyrs that were burned to death. Is that going to be a problem? God can't resurrect them from the ashes? I hope he can, because if he can't, then we are all in trouble. And God is not who he claims to be or who his word says he is. But we know all that's nonsense. And it's the same with, oh, I have to go to church on, and it's the Gregorian calendar Saturday. It's the Pope's calendar that they're keeping, not God's calendar. So there you have that. Yeah, he is our rest. He is. Okay. So anyway, except for WW who's on the wrong coast. You never stay up past midnight, WW? Is that a problem? Everybody else is going to show up, right? Or just have to find the people that will show up. Because I'm sorry, you know, if I was on the East Coast, then I would do it from 9 to midnight Eastern time. But I'm over here. So anyway, here comes a break. And you're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And maybe we'll jump into that topic in the next half hour. And maybe we'll hear from Greg. I'll be back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And so far, we're just hanging out today, doing a little chatting, talking about doing a program at midnight Eastern time, because I'm in the other coast, and that's 9 p.m. here. And I don't want to do an earlier program because it's still light out and I have lots of work to do. And it's the greatest, it's the working part of the day. In the summer, especially here, you know, when it's 105 degrees at 5 p.m. and then you want to enjoy a few hours outside after it starts to cool off before it gets dark, that's when you do it. That's what we do over here before it gets the last couple hours of daylight here, are the cooling off time when you get out and you get things done. In the summer especially, but, and let's see, WW, this is great, he says, oh yes, Anvil Stryker says, I go to bed at 8 p.m. Central Time. Well, that's perfect. Central Time, you're 2 hours off from me, I think. So that's like 10 p.m. Or no, that's like, yeah, 6 p.m. here, I think, if I got that right. Yeah, we'll set an alarm and for 9 p.m. my time and get back up. Well, that'd be perfect for WW. He says, I fell asleep at 8 p.m. or at 5 p.m. last night. Wow. 5 p.m. You must get up like at 4 a.m. then or something, I hope, because that's even 11 hours sleep if you go to bed at, if you fall asleep at 5 p.m. and get up at 4 a.m. Well, see, that's perfect, though, WW. You fall asleep at 5 p.m. You know, you have your dinner and fall asleep, I'm assuming, right? That never happens to any of the rest of us, okay? Then you just set an alarm for midnight and get up. Oh, well, set it for 11:45, that you can get up, wash up, and put your public face on, and you can be my first guest. How about that? You can Skype Nicholas Arthur. That would be my Skype moniker. I think that's it. Yeah, my Skype name is, let's see what it is. I think that's what it is. Skype name, yeah, Nicholas Arthur, one word. That's my Skype name. So, and if anyone wants to Skype in any time right now, I can just either put your face or you can do video and I can put your face on or just your voice. So my Skype is open. Nicholas Arthur is my Skype ID. NicklasArthur. And it's on right now. That's, I'm trying to get Greg Anthony to Skype in. Let's see. He says, I'll let you know at 10. It's 10:06. And maybe he's not going to make it today. But hopefully he'll be on next week. And I'm trying to get him to show his face, because we can show faces now since we're streaming video. We can Skype video faces. I don't know how many of you listen to John Arthur or don't listen to him. Can I get a vote over here? When people hear John Arthur, do you turn off First Amendment Radio or do you listen more closely? We're having a poll. When John Arthur comes on, no relation to me, okay? Yeah, except through Adam and Eve, I'm sure. But yeah, no relation to me, John Arthur. He's Nordic, I'm Germanic, okay? So, but our forefathers served the same god, Thor. That's right. That's where the name Arthur comes from. Probably a lot of you didn't know that. But I know it because I have the name. But Arthur means to rise up to Thor. Yeah, that's what it means. But that's the past that I've been saved from, the past of my ancestors who are idol worshippers, right? But we're barbarians from the north. Maybe I could just call my show The Barbarian from the North. How about that? That bowed the knee to Christ. That's what it was all about. Nobody's saying anything about John Arthur. He's on First Amendment Radio. Have you ever heard of him? Anybody? When he comes on, do you turn him on or turn him off? That's what I'm looking for. I'm trying to get him to show his face too. But he's a little outrageous, I have to admit, that sometimes I have to turn him off. Does that help anybody? But he owns WXEI over there in Florida. He's over in the panhandle of Florida. He has a radio station over there. And he airs First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or so I've been told. I don't know. I'm never there to listen. But because he doesn't have really much of a web presence, I don't know how he does that. Okay. Sometimes, okay. Nobody's saying anything about John Arthur. You know? If this is the way it's going to go, I might just have to cancel my show before it begins. As I expect some input, but I guess everybody's busy working or whatever. So, but let me know later. Come over to the First Amendment Radio chat room if you're not there now. Come over there later and put your comments in about this show if you're listening to the show later, because the chat stays on First Amendment Radio. It stays up there for a week or two before it disappears. Like on Rumble, it disappears right away. I mean, you go back there 2 hours, all the chat is gone. On YouTube, they do allow the chat to rerun when you replay the live show. So the chats do stay on YouTube, but YouTube's not reliable, because if you say the wrong thing, their sensibilities. Okay. He comes on pretty loud. Does that mean that you just turn the volume down? Or are you just trying to be kind over there, Anvil Striker? Like I said, both him and David Knight, they really got a bone to pick with Donald Trump. And it's, you know, I never did like Donald Trump, to tell you the truth, because I remember he did that show on TV where he said, he would say, "You're fired," right? I forget what was it? The Apprentice. That was the name of the broadcast. I didn't like him then. The guy was a womanizer. Everyone knew it. I mean, it's not like it's a secret, you know. Donald Trump was who he was and who he is. So now people are acting surprised because of the Jeffrey Epstein chronicles or something, that Donald Trump hung out with Jeffrey Epstein on some occasions. And people are acting like surprised to know it's the end. Now we could really... He's always been that. That's who he's always been. I never did like him. I wouldn't vote for him either. I wouldn't vote for Joe Biden either. I wouldn't vote for Nikki Haley either. I can't think of one person that I would like to vote for. So I just vote for Jesus. You know, that's my vote. King Jesus, come, reign, at least. And if you can't reign and if you can't be the president of America, which he would never stoop to, and I don't blame him. Why should he? He's already king of the universe. So he doesn't have to run. He's already king. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Anvil Steiger says, "I listen to him because Tom follows him." President Warp Speed. Yeah, see, that's what Donald Trump did that I didn't like. Would he do it again? I hope not, because it looks like he's going to be president again, unless we have civil war in America or something. You know, these people are, the people in government today are just plumb crazy. It's insane, but, you know, these people have to be insane to do, because they're all mad with sin, and they're mad with, they're drunk with riches and whatever it is that the Antichrist is using to keep them in his camp and to do his bidding, because that's what's really going on. We know who the mover behind the scene is. It's the Antichrist and his shadow government. And you'll never hear that on David Knight or John Arthur. At least John Arthur does call the Pope the false prophet. At least he has that part right. I'm pretty sure he got that from me. So, but yeah, I'm sick of hearing about Donald Trump. That's basically it. Why? You know, why talk about this guy if you hate him so much? You know, sounds like your hatred is an obsession, and that whoever spends so much time talking about how much they hate this guy, as if they're going to convince anyone else, they're not. They're not going to change my mind about him, because Donald Trump hasn't changed, and my mind has been about what Donald Trump is, who he is, and he was what he is, and that hasn't changed. Let's see. WW says Trump is high up on list of antichrist in those weirdization hangouts. Okay, I don't know what an exionization hangout is. However, even if I've never heard that word before. Probably just a typo. Yeah. So he's high up on the list of antichrist. Yeah. Donald Trump is, I think he's transparent to me. He's not even clever enough to be deceptive. I mean, is there really something about Donald Trump that I don't see? And what would it be? You know, seriously, that's the way they act. Like Donald Trump is the most intelligent master of deceit that ever walked the face of the earth. No, he's not. He's clearly what he is, and what he is clearly seen for what he is for those that have eyes to see. Yeah, and he's not a. No, and anyone who thinks he's a Christian is an idiot, because he is clearly, obviously, not a Christian. He is transparently not Christian. Okay? But was he good to Christians? Yeah, in the same way that that other rulers of the past have been good to Christians. Yeah, so he was favorable to Christians. I like that about him, and I liked a lot of the things that he did. And then he just kind of erased everything good he did with warp speed. And was he controlled by others? Well, I don't know his heart. You know, if you listen to David Knight and John Arthur, you would think that Donald Trump is the most diabolical and smartest demon that ever walked the face of the earth. And he's the cleverest of the demons. Antichrist people that have walked the earth. He's got everyone fooled, according to them, it seems. You know, that he actually set out, he knew that the shot was going to kill 17 million people, but he deceived them all, and he knew it all the time. And he, you know, I haven't seen no evidence of that. If I had evidence of it, then yeah, because I know that about Bill, what's his name? His name, the shot guy, the vaccine guy, Bill, lost his name, having a teenage moment here. You know who I'm talking about. Or like Fauci, you know, the guy definitely knew. And a lot of the guys in the vaccine or pharmaceutical industry, they knew that shot was going to kill people. But did Trump know that? Did he plan it? Did he really? Or was he duped? And is he still duped today? Is he a narcissist? Well, yeah. But I don't believe he's all that they credit to him. I think he is transparent. And if you're going to have evil men and the rulers of evil ruling the world, well, you can only hope for those that are more favorable to God's people than not. That's the best you can hope for in the world. But here's the good news is that the king of the universe and the one that's really in charge is Jesus. And we don't have to worry about him. Yeah. And he will rule. And he is coming. And he will vanquish all those governments on his timetable. We can't vote him in, and nobody you vote in is going to change that. Until then. And our job is simply Gates. Thank you for that, WD. I don't know how Bill Gates' name slipped my mind, but it did. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Bill Gates. So, plus all those people, Bill Gates and Fauci, they're all transparent to me. You know, they're not fooling anybody that walks in the truth. Seriously. If you're walking in the truth, you're not going to be fooled. And don't think that everything that happens, God is in control of it. Yeah, even the shot. And, you know, when bad things happen, we realize it's God's judgment on the evil in the world that we live in. And was the shot God's judgment? Yeah. Or would you rather have the Chinese come in and kill every American on the planet and subdue the whole nation? He could judge us that way too. But when all the people that took the shot and suffered for it, Was that God's judgment? Did all those people individually, did they each one of them deserve that? Well, it seems like it's more selective judgment because it wasn't, you know, something that just happened in a certain area, but it only happened to certain people that were gullible enough to believe a lie. And some of them were gullible. Well, all of them were gullible if you took the shot. And a lot of them died, and a lot of them were hurt. Was it their fault? Well, it wasn't their fault any more than anything else. It's the fault of sin, and it's the fault of, you know, and God judges in any way he chooses. He's always used evil men to judge his nation, his sinful people. You know, that's what we have throughout the Old Testament. Where Babylon, an evil nation, an evil king, you know, was used to judge Israel and then judge all the nations around Israel that laughed and were happy and joyful that Israel was being judged. Then finally, he judged Babylon. Yeah, watch that happen. And so you see, the judgment has continually been going on throughout history. And that's where the dispensationalists sin, by leaving out all of that history of the last 2,000 years and all of the judgment that is written in the Revelation, which most of which has already happened in history and can be pinpointed, or at least we can narrow it down to the eras and places and circumstances and nations where those judgments fell. And I think E.B. Eliot did a great job in his book. It may not be perfect, but for a man, yeah, it's the best I've seen as far as a comprehensive work on the Revelation. Let's see. Okay, at 10:40, call my Skype. Well, my Skype number? I can call your Skype, but not a number. Call my Skype, and he has a number here, but I'm not going to give out the number. I'll call a Skype, but I don't know about calling numbers. Can you call numbers on Skype? You think you have to pay for that service, and I don't have that service, so I'm not sure I could do that. Yeah. So anyway, I'll give him an audio call at 10:40. Okay. So that's in 20 minutes. Greg is coming on, I think, if this works. So, and that's why I needed to try this out, too, so I can have guests on. Let's see, what else do we got here in the chat room? I'ma put his name in spaces since my comments with all... Okay, I don't know what that means. Protestant view. Nobody's saying anything over there. I did get a Gates. Hey, if I forget words, people help. They put things in the chat room. But anyway, thanks for that. SMT, I'm guessing, is saying she's never heard of John Arthur. Okay, well, you don't listen to First Amendment Radio because he's on live at 5 p.m. So now you got to come back at 5 p.m. and listen to John Arthur live. And that's the name of his broadcast, too. But if you're in Florida, you can go over there and visit him. He's in Crestview, Florida. That's in the panhandle somewhere of Florida. He's right below Alabama, I think, right on the border there between Alabama and Florida. So you can tune him in, WXEI FM over there. And let me know, is he really playing First Amendment Radio 24/7? I don't know, because I can't listen. I'd have to go over there to listen. And he doesn't have a website, so I'm guessing it's just using my audio stream on the internet, if he is using it at all. Anyway, I have a lot of unanswered questions. Let's see what else. One more. More orc than elf. Fauci. Oh, okay, whatever. Okay, that's all, nothing. And so nobody's got anything to say. So who's going to show up if I do a broadcast then? And who wants to be my first guest? Because I would like to have more listener guests, you know, so we can, it would be more of a fellowship if it wasn't just me up here talking. All right. Anyway, let me know in the chat room. Email me about it. Leave comments on my website. Go to my contact page over there and let me know what you think. I'm going to have to get some feedback. And like I said, I don't want it to just be me or about this or that type of show. I just want it to be kind of open, with open topics, like suggested topics. Let's say, hey, let's talk about this or this topic or that topic or whatever. And I'm open to anything, not just prophecy, because this is not going to be a prophecy program at night. It's going to be open. We may talk about prophecy, likely will quite a bit, since that's one of my things that I talk about quite a bit, and it's a reality we have to deal with. But for today, well, I'm going to try to call Greg at 10:40, he says. Yes, fill out your inquisition form every year, 10:40. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. We've got to talk a little bit about, I had this document here. Let's see, just bring it up here. This is it. Various forms. Oh, yeah, I had someone else send me something, too. Let me check that out. And this guy, he wrote a book. Someone said that this guy has some really great stuff and on the 70 weeks. So he spends a whole lot of, he's got this book, it's 450 pages, and it's called Bible Prophecy Secrets Revealed or something, and he's the only one who knows this, the secret. But here's the secret. The secret is 7 days per week, and it's about the 70 weeks prophecy, and he puts it in the future, though. No, he doesn't really put it in the future. He spreads the 70 weeks out over the whole expanse of time. So this guy is totally off, and he takes 450 pages to tell you about it. You know, you ever watch one of those commercials on YouTube? They come on and Dr. Gundry comes on and he's saying things, and well, you need to listen to that, and it just goes on, but he never gets to the point. Okay, and it drags on for 45 minutes. You're going, when is this guy going to get to the point? Well, that's what this book is like that I got here. But it finally got to the crux of the matter over here on page, what page is this? Oh, page 55 or 54. And here it is. This is the whole thing here. 7 days per week times 7 weeks times 70 is 3,430. So from the going forth of the decree, 3,430 years to the end. And ta-da, that was it. I'm going, wow. Yeah, the people believe that. The guy's very convincing. He's got a YouTube channel and everything and more followers than me, definitely. He's probably selling more books than me. But if you have a fallacy and you got something that like this, and it's like I said, it's like those commercials, you know, you get on YouTube, you're watching your video, it'll go to a spot, and then it'll just go on and on, and you're going, I was listening to something else. There's a whole new show out here. So you have to click, you know, you have to click to get back to the show. And it just goes on. Or you're listening because you want the punchline, you know. And they just never quite get to it. But they give you so much information. It's so overwhelming. They go, wow, these people are really smart. You all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Nobuck says, are we still on? I don't know what that means, but someone thought it was funny. I'll see. Yeah. So, okay, anyone wants to call in? Nicholas Arthur is the Skype name. You can call in right now, and I'll put you on the air. Face or no face. Just have to interrupt me. How am I going to find out if this thing works if nobody calls in? Well, here comes our final break. And we have 1.5 hour, and hopefully we'll be able to connect with Greg in about 12 minutes. I'll be back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the Scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, though we've not been speaking much on prophecy. And supposedly 7 minutes from now, I'm supposed to connect with Greg, so hopefully that will happen and work out right. And let's see, Anvil Stryker says, ask Greg about those old buildings. I don't know about old buildings, if you want to... more specific question than that. Yeah. And Microsoft bought Skype. Yeah, I hated that when they bought Skype. But I still have Skype and I still use it. And it's what, it's kind of like the standard for, it's just software. So, and it's free and it works. What can I say? using, and I would like to get off of Windows for my broadcast, but I can't set it up on Ubuntu or Linux, or however you say it. Just can't get it to work right. So I gave up. Maybe I'll try again in a couple more years to get away from Windows. But I've got Windows 10 on my two computers that I want to use for broadcasting, but I don't get any updates on them. I've turned off updates. I found out how to do it, and because they're not servicing Windows 10 anymore anyway. But I don't want any updates. If everything's working perfectly, why would I want it updated with new spy software and stuff, right? Anyway, so there's tricks you can do to do that, to keep Windows from updating you and changing things on your computer. Because I used to run my network on, what was it called? Windows XP, that was it. And I had to turn off updates, and you could do that there too, but it's harder to do on Windows 10. But if I did left it update, automatic updates on, it would destroy it every time. So I had to turn it off, the updates, so I could keep it running on XP. And I ran XP until last year. I finally gave up the software that runs XP, and I learned how to automate on OBS. So all of our automation is now on OBS. Yeah, imagine that. Any radio station could use OBS for automation easily. It's very easy, very simple. Well, I'm not going to say it's simple. Otherwise, everyone would be doing it. It's very difficult. But once you learn, it's simple. Okay. Greg Anthony, ask him about those old buildings. I wonder what that means. I don't even know what that means, Anvil Striker. He might want to talk about flat Earth, though. I did tell Greg that that he could not teach that flat Earth was Bible doctrine on my network. And I don't want First Amendment Radio being a Protestant radio station. We don't believe in the flat Earth. I'm sorry. And we certainly don't believe the Bible says the Earth is flat, because it doesn't. And I've got a whole posting on that. It's called About the Flat Earth, and probably many of you have seen it in the past. Flat Earth or spherical Earth, what does the Bible say? That's what the post says. If you go to the search button on the upper right hand corner of my website, just put flat Earth in there, and you'll find several flat Earth articles, but the one you should pay attention to is the spherical, the one. Well, let me do it myself so I can see, because I forget these things. It was a long time ago when we were doing flat Earth stuff. So if I search for flat Earth, what do I get? Flat Earth Bible Madness, that's one of my articles. Not Appointed to Tribulation, Flat Earth Method of Interpretation. Yeah, flat Earth method of interpreting the Bible. They have their own method. It's not proper exegesis, but it is definitely induction or eisegesis. Induction, that's the word. That's the word I got from John Wolford, because he didn't want to use eisegesis, but he used the word induction, interpretation by induction instead. Isn't that clever? I thought it was clever. Flat Earth Rocket Man. Oh, remember the Flat Earth Rocket Man? Oh, yeah. Prophecy Talk, Atheist Flat Earth Method of Bible Interpretation. Here it is. Flat Earth or Spherical Earth? What? Now, that's the two witnesses. Boy, I had a lot of Flat Earth stuff. Yeah, see. Flat Earth or Spherical Earth? What does the Bible say? That's it. Let's see. Copy link. And you can check that out for yourself. But that's the go-to article for those that... And I'm not sure if Greg Anthony ever read that article or not. But I wouldn't expect Greg Anthony to really understand Bible interpretation. Because, you know, Bible study is not really his forte. And really, it is not the forte of most Christians, to tell you the truth. That's what I found. So anyway, there's the flat earther, and tell me what you think of the article. But I would be willing to debate anybody on flat earth nonsense, because, you know, yeah, it was a big thing then, back, and I wrote that article in 2015. So most of those articles were written in either 2015 or after that article there, because the flat earth madness was going all over the world, it seems. Yeah. I wonder why that's up there. Huh. Okay. So anyway, there's a lot of flat earth Bible madness, and there was a lot of flat earth people saying that that you know, it's like Jesus going up on the pinnacle and he saw all the kingdoms of the world. Well, he could only see them if they were flat. See, that's called conjecture or induction or eisegesis. Because in order for Jesus to see all the kingdoms of the earth, he couldn't see them if the earth wasn't flat, could he? Flat or not, you can't see that far anyway. So it's ridiculous when you think about it. But those are the kind of arguments that they have to say the Bible supports a flat earth. I think it's crazy. Oh, here we go. Let's try calling him. See if he comes on or not. Gee, I can't hear. Okay. He's on. Hold on a second. I forgot how to do this. Oh, here we go. Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, that's Trigain. Trigain, what does that mean? Testing 1, 2, 3. Hold on, let me try to get this audio and video settings right here. Skype. Okay, this is audio and video settings. Camera, no, we're not doing camera. Okay, try this again. Audio and video settings. Scroll down, microphone. No, it's not default, it's SB mic. Okay, testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Line in. Testing 1, 2. Oh, no. Okay, well, I don't know how to do this. My mic is working, but it's not going into Skype. And I can't hear Greg. I'm not even sure he's on. I think we're hung up. No, it's counting down. Okay, well, see, that's why I wanted an hour to do this. Let's see. I'm pretty sure that this is my mic. Why can't I hear it? Okay, change audio and video settings. Okay, unmute for incoming calls. Oh, unmute. What does that mean? Unmute. Bring on additional device. Speakers. I can't hear him, so he must not be saying anything. Okay. All right. Well, this is not working. I had this working before when I tested it. Oh, it says Trigain. Oh, he's saying Trigain. Okay. Well, I got the gain all the way up on Skype here. Okay. I tested this before and it worked, but now it is not working and it's very confusing. Okay, let's try it again. Okay, oh no. Missed call from Greg. Dismiss. Okay, well, this is really, yeah. I'm not sure we're connected or whether we're connected or not. I'm just confused over the whole thing now. What happened to the settings, audio and video, test. Oh, now I get my, now it's working. Okay, can you hear me, Greg? Test audio. Well, now I can't hear him. Okay, it says default communication device, speakers. Okay. Stop. Okay. Now everything's working. Can you hear me, Greg?
Oh. Yes, I can.
Okay, well, we finally got that working. I did a test that everything worked earlier, but somehow Skype seems to reset everything for you when you least expect it. Okay, hey, finally we got you back on. I guess persistence paid off.
Right.
You want to make your big announcement? Go ahead.
Well, I plan to start the show again. However, I call it Arctic Beacon Reset. And since there's been so many great resets in the history of the world, one we're going through now, and I'm going to start at January 17th, I believe, Wednesday, from 10, I think it's 10 to 12, right? Or is it 12 to 2, Nicholas? I can't remember.
I think we're going for 12 to 2.
Yeah, I think it's 12 to 2, right, for sure. And that's going to be live, so... Probably what I'm going to do is, at least for the first week, I'm going to have one guest, and I've already scheduled it. Bert Krantz from the Alamo Ministry is going to come on.
Ah.
And
okay.
We have a lot to discuss. It's been a lot of years since Tony passed away, as well as the coverage I gave that ministry and how they were harassed by the powers that be. So I thought it'd be... kind of interesting to catch up with Bert Krantz and spend an hour with him in the second hour. I mean, the first hour, I'll just, I guess, introduce myself again and try to get people to go to a website that I'm creating right now.
Okay, cool.
And I can explain it. It'll be called Arctic Beacon Reset. And the reason I call it that is my first website back in 2000, I think it was 2002, was titled Arctic Beacon. And that's where I first started out doing alternative radio and news and articles. I actually started out doing articles. And that carried on for a long time through a number of things up until I believe I even got on your station. That was going through Republic Broadcasting Network with John Stadmiller, Alex Jones, and GCN. I had a show. actually, I was on both those at the same time, and I had a show right before Alex. And interesting enough, got to know those guys. And when I first started with them, I didn't realize they were connected to the rulers of evil. And just goes to show you that, you know, how you learn these things is you get on alternative radio thinking, you know, everybody's cool. And then you start figuring out that they also control much of that. And Alex was a perfect example of what is going on. And he's now, what, a multimillionaire playing the game that he's telling us all the truth. And by the way, he does give a lot of good things, but basically it is geared towards directing you in a certain direction, keeping you away, I think, from a lot of the stories that you need to talk about. So anyway, not to belabor that point, I can talk about that more on my show again. But after going through Arctic Beacon, what happened with Arctic Beacon was I got carried away and I forgot to renew my domain name. And I think it was even a day where I was late, and then all of a sudden, I had no longer control of my website. Somebody took it, and now if you go to Arctic Beacon, it's some goofy thing that they still have.
Well, they've got.
So then I start.
They've got a thing where you can apply for a website, and the minute it becomes lapsed, you get it.
So, okay.
So someone was probably waiting for you to lapse on your website. But there are people that do that.
I can't remember exactly why I forgot about it, but it was just a lot of doing a lot of things, and I just didn't renew it in time. So then I think through you, you got me a WordPress site.
Yeah, right. That was years ago. Yeah.
We recouped a lot of the information, and then not all of the stories were on. What I've noticed, though, in the last, let me explain what happened on that site. I took it down a while back for a reason, and I was going to renew it again within 30 days. And I think subconsciously I didn't want to renew it. And the reason being is that I was tired of many of the things I'd said 10, 15 years ago, which turned out to be, I think, now with what I've learned, not accurate. And then secondly, I got tired of YouTube. I still get this. I mean, they take down most all of the shows.
Yeah, right.
I was getting one a day.
Yep.
And so as I go through the internet, I see most of my stuff is down. And even on the website, a lot of the things I had on there was not there. So I think primarily what I wanted to do was just reset everything, I guess, and start over, and correct some of the things I said in the past, what I've learned since, and add some things. And then somebody said, well, what about those great articles that, or the great stories that some of the great stories you did regarding Tony? Well, Tony Alamos kept most of his. I said, well, some people have kept those on their sites, and you can find them on the internet. The ones I miss the most are probably the Du Plessis orphans and all the work I did on those residential schools, showing how the Jesuits were involved in genocide with the Native Americans and Canadians. A lot of those are gone. I can't find. So I kind of miss that. However,
well, like you said, what do you call it? What's the name of it now? Arctic Beacon Reset.
Arctic Beacon Reset. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we're moving on. We're resetting and moving into the future. Yeah. Then. So what are you going to continue with exposing the Vatican New World Order?
Yeah, that's my primary. I started that way, and I want to continue that.
Yeah.
And I can recoup some of my old stuff and put on there. But I do want to revisit some of the people that I talked to in the past and see where we stand with that. Because what I'm finding now, what's really hard, is there's so much going on in a sense where they've kind of, since COVID, came, and this whole kind of different world that we live in, there's so many things that people are finding out that aren't true. And I guess on my website, what I try to say is this, that did you realize that most everything you've learned is a lie?
Right.
And then you go from there. And I like to go back to the beginning of everything. And one of the things I do want to discuss, it's very interesting. And I can remember when I was in Italy, I used to marvel at all the buildings and all the occult symbols. Once I started to figure out where the Vatican was at, I started looking at all these occult symbols. And, it was amazing what you see and what you see all over the world in buildings. However, what I did not realize was who really built these buildings. We don't think about this.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be, we're almost running. We only got a few minutes left, so we can't. I don't want to just run over the end of the hour. So anyway, these are some of the things that you'll be talking about on your broadcast when you come.
And the cool thing, if I could just say, some buildings, if you go in every country of the world, every city, you're going to see that they've lied to us about this architecture.
Yeah, you go to the capital of every state. Yeah, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it is amazing what our real history is. We don't really know.
So that'll be cool. Hidden history, definitely a good topic We'll be looking forward to that.
And catch up on the Vatican and show how difficult it is now to even get this story out there. Most people right now, I found it difficult in the past to get it out there. But now I find that people are so barraged by so many different things that it's not really the number one subject on their plate.
Right.
So what happened, the Jesuits can get away with more the more they keep busy with people checking out, oh, how come they lied about the moon? How come they lied about this? How come they lied about COVID? How come they lied about this?
Yeah. I know, exactly. You know, because that's what I'm doing here, too. I'm trying to point to the Antichrist and his shadow government, you know, the Vatican led New World Order. And so anyway, you'll be on next week at noon Pacific time for 2 hours. And you will be on audio and video on First Amendment Radio, because you're not on First Amendment. You're on my show, which I do on a different computer, but the Skype is working and it will work on when you connect to the First Amendment Radio Skype next week.
Well, listen, during the week, let's go over that so I can know if it's audio, video, what's going on, so I can set it up.
Well, we can run a test sometime. We'll just have to set up, say, this weekend to run a test and just take an hour to do testing live on air, okay?
Okay.
To make sure everything's working. So, and that should be fun, too. We could probably debate flat Earth for an hour.
All right. Then say hello to Tom for me. Is he still?
No,
still
Tom is not on First Amendment Radio anymore. He's pretty much retired from radio. So.
Okay.
But we still play as broadcasts, so because we have, you know, 10 years of them, and they're still great.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, well, listen, Nicholas, thanks for having me on, and I'll talk to you during the week.
All right, this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Greg.
Okay. Bye.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Okay. There we have it. And, I have to work on that some more, but we'll do some testing this weekend, take an hour and make sure everything's working. That'll be sometime this weekend. Stay tuned. Don't miss it. How do I turn this thing off? The Skype thing. Oh, there it is. That's where his face would have been today, but it's a total different setup for the rest, because during my broadcast, I pause the automation and restart the stream on my personal work computer, which I'm sitting in front of now. My automation computer is over here on my left-hand side, so I have to switch back at the end of the show. I switch during the news. That's a good thing to have the news for, is switching from one broadcast computer to the other. But that Skype is all set up. So I'm trying to get John Arthur to show his face, too, because we're doing video 24-7, so it would be nice to see some faces. We don't need Finity Studios or anything. I got my free studio behind me where my hand disappears into the screen. See that? Isn't that cool? And I can disappear in a second. But there's my tone, and we're done for the day. So all I can say is may the Almighty bless you and keep each and every one of you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation